Episode 6, Secrecy and Its Impact on Press Freedom. The future of journalism is inextricably linked to national security. The greater the need to protect the secrets of governments, the greater the need for some restrictions on press freedom. At least that's the argument. But how much is too much and what protections do journalists need? Dr. Rebecca Ananian-Welsh, a University of Queensland School of Law lecturer, researches the impact of national security laws on press freedom. And she says there's been 82 anti-terrorism laws legislated in Australia since 9/11. Here we canvass the negative impact of that on the future of journalism and one way to counter it. So what's the potential impact of these 82 pieces of legislation on press freedom?
Well, some of these pieces of legislation will impact press freedom a lot. So our official secrets offences will stop certain information from getting to the public and to the media. But 82 pieces of legislation in itself is a problem. And that comes from just the sheer complexity and uncertainty of what's right and wrong in that kind of complex legal framework.
But can you explain why they actually impact on press freedom?
So if we think about the recent reporting on misconduct by the Australian military in Afghanistan, that's about Australia's international affairs. It's about national security. Was reporting on that good public interest journalism? Yes. Was reporting on that also detrimental to Australia's national security? Maybe. It made us look bad in the eyes of the world, and it may have had a prejudicial effect. It was also undoubtedly based on a lot of classified material. So there are a whole range of national security offences that are implicated there. Handling classified documents, reporting something to the world that's prejudicial to Australia's interest. It's hard when you've got 82 national security laws to figure out where what's right and what's wrong, what's legal and what's illegal, what's criminal and what's not.
But just how restrictive are they, though? I mean, national security is important. So just potentially how restrictive are those pieces of legislation?
So Australia doesn't only have more national security law than anywhere else in the world. Those laws are of a greater breadth and depth and severity. One of the reasons for that is that we don't have any kind of Bill of Rights. We're the only Western liberal democracy lacking a Bill of Rights or a Charter of Rights. So those laws have been able to grow without ever being checked or dragged back. Those laws are very broad. The espionage offences criminalise handling classified material for the primary purpose of communicating it to a foreign power. Now, when you publish something, you communicate it to a foreign power. So there's a very broad offence that could that could encompass any handling of classified material for publication. What the government says, though, when it introduces these laws is usually something along the lines of, don't worry, trust us to only prosecute when it's really necessary. So the laws themselves are very broad. They could capture a huge scope of conduct, definitely legitimate journalism. But they aren't being prosecuted.
So what does this do to the future of journalism, do you think?
So if we're thinking about journalism in, say, 20 years, if we look back 20 years, Australia didn't have any national security law, no counter-terrorism law. The word terrorism did not exist in our Commonwealth law. Now we have more than anywhere else in the world. There's no sign of that slowing down. As I said, we don't have the rights framework to temper that, but also we've got two sides of parliament who want to look strong and tough on national security. So I'd say in 20 years, that number of 82 could be 160. There's no signs that that might not be the case. And those laws will continue to expand. The impact on journalism could go a couple of different ways. We could see at one kind of extreme, journalists actually being prosecuted. And that's what we got hinted, that's what the raids hinted at, the ABC raid, the AFP raids on the ABC and Smethurst back in 2019, that the police might just go, well, you broke the law, you had classified documents, we're prosecuting you. And we could see prosecutions of journalists becoming quite common. We could see something in the middle, like a stalemate or some sort of understanding that, you know, we could prosecute you, but we're not going to. And personally, I don't think that that's great for the rule of law. I think if we're going to have laws, then they should be, they should mean what they say. They shouldn't just be not applied to some people because the government doesn't feel like it. That also can have a chilling effect, though. So journalists don't like breaking national security offences. They might start not publishing stories if it would technically be breaking the law.
So one of the issues, as you know, that can compound this is that the big publishers can less and less afford to fight cases on a matter of principle in court. For instance, taking a defamation case up to the High Court is an enormous cost and an enormous risk. So that's got to also have a negative effect in future on the ability of journalists or publishers to fight these national security laws. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, and we actually, some colleagues of I and I, Richard Murray at UQ and also Peter Grester, have been talking to media lawyers and talking to journalists about exactly these questions. So something we put to the media lawyers is, what's your risk appetite for letting journalists commit a national security offence? And they said it was zero. When it comes to defamation, they're happy to kind of put some things out there that need to be said and then fight a defamation action. When it comes to actually exposing their journalists or journalists exposing their sources to prosecution for a criminal offence, they won't do it. So there's a much greater chance of a chilling effect where good stories that are needing to be told are just not being told. So that's coming from the lawyers who give the legal advice to the editors and the journalists.
So it's going to have a more devastating effect on the niche publishers too, the small publishers, but also solo journalists who are putting out, like, say, Alan Kohler and a variety of others who, or Crikey, these small publishers are putting out, with a few journos putting out their newsletters and publications. They're not going to risk this kind of stuff because they just haven't got the dollars.
They haven't. And it's hard. Look, we've got top in-house counsel or top external kind of barristers and lawyers who advise major media organizations saying these national security offenses are just too complicated. They're too hard for me to know whether someone's crossing the line. They're really difficult to give advice on. That's the top people in the know. So if you're a freelance journo or a blogger who's been contacted with a really good story that needs to be told, It's very likely that you're either going to drop it and not tell that story or tell it and run the risk of prosecution.
And you're saying that the lawyers, because there are so many pieces of legislation, actually can't walk through the minefield with confidence.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Not only there's so much of it, but it's so complicated, and because there aren't prosecutions. So you might think the fact that no one's been prosecuted for espionage in almost all Australia's history is a good thing. But what it means is that the courts haven't got hold of this and explained what it means yet. So very vague terms, like if we think about reporting that prejudices Australia's national security as being something that could run a risk of prosecution. What on earth that means and what report that might impact, we just don't know. So that level of uncertainty is definitely having a chilling effect.
Okay, so let's look at one case. So the Bernard-Kaleri case concerns a solicitor who's defending a person who apparently was an Australian spy who, it's alleged, bugged a cabinet room in Timor-Leste, and there's now a court case concerning that, which is suppressed for national security reasons. Should that be made public? Should that court case, do you think, be open to public scrutiny?
So I don't think I can answer that question from where I sit. I think a judge needs to be the one to answer that question. And what that means is that the judge needs to be able to be in a position to hear both of the arguments from either side. Now that should take care of the fair trial concerns. But what's also important and why we're all here discussing it is that the media interest and the public interest in open justice is also represented. Now, that's a big burden for the judge to try and look after the public interest as well as the party's interests. And it's not always something that's brought to the judge's attention. So as long as there is scope for the media to be in the room and really fight what's secret and what's not, then we can only trust that that line is being drawn in the right place by the judge. At the moment, though, that act, the National Security Information Act, doesn't always give room for the media's interests to be heard. A lot of it is worked out behind closed doors between the parties, and maybe neither party wants much to come out. So these are really tricky questions about the national interest. The national interest in secrecy and the national interest in democracy and open justice.
So the Alliance for Journalist Freedom has been calling for a Media Freedom Act, which would in part solve the problem you just described. Are you a supporter of the idea of a Media Freedom Act?
100%. So when I talk about there being extremes, and if we look ahead 20 years, this is only going to get worse in a national security law power kind of place. The best case scenario is that we have some protection for journalists, or some sense that media freedom is, one, a thing that's important in Australia, and two, is factored in to all of these legislative schemes. And a Media Freedom Act does that in the simplest way, most eloquent, straightforward way of putting it clearly in one place, rather than having to amend 82 plus different pieces of legislation to simply say good faith, legitimate journalism isn't a crime in this country.
So what should be the main elements that are included in a Media Freedom Act?
The most important practical element, the one with the most impact, would be an exemption from prosecution. So like a defence, it would operate in the same way as a defence, but easy to just say journalism is not a crime, really. And we've seen that at least in our official secrets offence. That's the one where it's a crime to be giving secret information to somebody else. There's a news reporting defence there, only enacted in 2018, that's actually well drafted and quite valuable. So we could see something like that just expanded across Australian law. Good faith, legitimate journalism is not a crime. So that would be the most effective provision of a Media Freedom Act. But I think it's also important just to have a statement, the symbolism even, of the government saying press freedom is an important part of our democratic system. Pretty much every other country has that, but we don't.
Right, and you think this would have a tempering effect, or how does it work to have a tempering effect with judges?
So the way that it could work for the judiciary, the way that we see charters of rights introducing human rights concerns into judicial decision making, is whenever there is an ambiguity in legislation, whenever something is a little unclear, the judges are instructed to resolve that ambiguity in favour of human rights. So that's how charters of rights work in Victoria, in the ACT, in Queensland, in the UK, in Canada, in New Zealand, I could go on. So that that is one way that that could help. The other way is simply, and this is again the impact that that symbolism even could have, by stating journalism is not a crime, it's not intended to be a crime, journalism is in the public interest and it's important to our democracy. When the judge is sitting there thinking, oh, I've got the party's interests, I've got the fair trial, I've got national security, you've got that reminder there that there is a public interest in press freedom and there is a public interest in an informed public, and that these arguments are about democracy, they're not just about the Daily Telly grabbing headlines.
Rebecca, greatly appreciate your time and your wisdom. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.